Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Missy Hood with a little bit of Ryan Ellis going on. If you've never heard of this song, it's called Heart of the Father. It's a phenomenal song. I'll let you listen to a little bit of it. It says, we enter into this Halloween week. Awesome. Feel the anointing on that? Man. Wait a second. I want you to hear the crescendo. No. So grab his album. It's breath and living water. We're going to fade that out because my mic is not that great and I don't want to sound like a cackling crow. Anyway, I hope you're having a great Monday. And as we enter into this Halloween week, that again is Ryan Ellis. Go check out his music. He's on Amazon.com. It's called The Heart of the Father. Heavy duty anointing on that music. So he's one of the new ones. The one that I was listening to last week, I think on Friday, it's called Never. What is that called? That's really, it's a phenomenal song. See my playlist here. It's by Mosaic, but it's such, go check out Mosaic too if you want to hear a really, really great anointed music right now. But anyway, those are two of the new songs for the hour that I'm really hearing about the or feeling the anointing over. And so if you want to check out the new sound for heaven, those are true of the some of the artists that I'm listening to right now. Anyhow, hope you've had a great weekend. We're going to get on about our Father's business. What's today's 15-minute rev about? It's going to actually kind of surprise you. Kind of got a vibe of some of the same notes from past messages. I think, really honestly, I really, really believe that God is trying to get his people's attention and trying to get us to step over out of the flesh into the things of the spirit because of where he's trying to take us. And if we're so stuck or so fearful of being wrong or so prideful in that we think we're right, those are the two things that are going to keep you stuck. So you have to step into trust, which takes you into the unknown. Okay, so God says, my sheep know my voice and they only follow after me. And if you remember the four streams that I was talking to you about, which Kurt Landry had talked about, is actually only two streams. You're either going to choose to trust God and move on into the unknown, even though you don't know where he's taking you, or you're going to stay stuck in the flesh and underneath the apparatus of religion. And so God's trying to move us out of that. He's trying to move us into the new. And so today's message is called Satan's workers are desperate on all levels. We're now, if you're a front runner and intercessor, you are fighting their high priest and priestesses. Like I sense that by the spirit big time. And we're seeing it in warfare. So you're playing or you're praying against the big dogs right now. And they are absolutely desperate to stop you. So if you're experiencing mega witchcraft, you'd be correct. You'd be correct. And so because of all the rituals, the innocent blood sacrifices, things like that, that's what they use to attain power behind the demons that actually give them or lend them their powers. They also get their gifts and mantles from past ancestors that they conjure. Remember, anointing doesn't leave the bones once a person passes away. So it can be, this is why God also tells us not to go hang out in graveyards. Because it's not holy ground, it's hollow ground, which means there can be demons still attached to bones. There can be unholy anointings, evil anointings still attached to bones, evil mantles still attached to bones. So that's how they do that. That's how they get that. So got to watch out for stuff like that. But at this point, many intercessors are dealing with high-level witches and Satanists, priests and priestesses, because these people have realized, the Satan has realized that their lower-level forces aren't getting the job done, which is great news for you, intercessor frontrunner, because that means that you are. And probably the best news of all is that they're not ever going to be able to outmaneuver or out-strategize God's people or God's forces, because God will always help his people to overthrow the enemy's devices. God says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can do everything that he's telling us to do. So the Lord's saying, keep moving in this hour. If things feel weird by the spirit around you, that's because these people are releasing occult spells, layered, structured, written, or spoken. They're putting it on seagulls, on griffiths. I think they're griffiths, something like that. But they're images. And so you need to be breaking those things off your life daily. And being fervent in praying against their devices. So if you want to keep moving up, that's how you're going to do that. A lot of God's people are feigning for lack of strength in this hour. They're falling. They're starting to fall lax, and they're starting to stop praying because it's intense. The fight is intense. It's grown intense because of the level of warfare we're now encountering. And the Lord is saying, you know, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. So when we stay fervent, when we stay connected, when we stay in the fight, regardless of how hard it is, God's building something in us. He's building something in us. And so this season is very different because God's showing up and he's showing all the evil that is around us. And that's his purpose. I mean, God's not expecting us to know what we're doing. He's going to help us in the fight. But he's also trying to teach us how to recognize the truth from a lie. In all of this, God's trying to show us how to recognize and quit getting caught up. Hey, Kara. Hi, Yvonne. It's good to see y'all. I can see your comments. Good to see you guys. But God is trying to teach us how to discern the truth from a lie and not get caught up in the witchcraft because of unhealed triggers or unhealed areas. And that can dupe a person. That's how people are getting duped in the body right now into praying witchcraft prayers, prayers prayed amiss, things like that, because they think the praying in the flesh is okay. They think that overriding someone's will is okay. When in Psalms 23, God never overrides our will. God leads us beside the living waters. He doesn't drive us. And so we know that witchcraft, its main objective through spells and incantations and everything that it does is to bend a person's will. That's what witchcraft prayers do. How do you recognize stuff like that? I'm kind of getting off, off topic, but I'm not. You recognize when someone's praying witchcraft prayers against you, when you start, you know the direction God's told you to walk in. You know where he's told you to go. You know what he's told you to do. And then all of a sudden, you start feeling led to go in another direction. But you know that you know that you know that the word that you got was of God. And that's called witchcraft prayers. That's called witchcraft decrees even, where they start releasing the word of God because the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's 100% effective 100% of the time. And so the part of the body that's chosen to stay underneath the apparatus of religion has lost power. They have very little power. But some parts of it, some segments of it, are learning how to pray the word. But they're not coming up high enough through deliverance and inner healing to get completely free so that they can operate in the full throttle power of God. Thank God. But I want them to come up. I want them to come up if they're willing to get deliverance and deep inner healing. I just don't want to deal with their witchcraft prayers. Because I don't want to be manipulated by people who don't want to change. Pardon me, or who don't think they need to change. And that's basically boils down to prayer, pride and arrogance, So going back to Halloween, we don't want to participate with the witches and Satanists this Halloween. We want to separate ourselves apart from that. And did you know that this Halloween actually falls on a Sunday? Did you know that? Which is actually a complete mockery to God for those who try to participate and help build the enemy's power. Did you realize that when you join in and you don't think it's a big deal, and I'm not trying to be religious by saying this, I'm just telling you that people that do that, and I used to actually be a costuming designer in film and TV, and so that was one of my favorite days, actually, before I knew better. And I didn't ever... Like, I didn't ever design evil costumes or anything like that. I always made happy costumes, but my own father told me, my family's all serving in leadership capacity somewhere, but my dad would tell me, Missy, why do you want to celebrate this day? Why don't you celebrate like November or Christmas? But he didn't understand. So I thought at the time that, you know, I wasn't doing anything wrong. And I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but I was. Inadvertently, by giving indirect homage or indirect credence and participating in any aspect of that day is joining ranks with the enemy's forces. We don't even know what we're doing. It's committing treason. It really is, and it can get us in trouble with the Lord. And this year especially, because God is separating out the holy from the unholy, so we don't want to be joining ranks with the enemy's forces when God's doing the sifting. And so we need to be separated and set apart to show the world and the way that they're to walk. And it's not being religious anymore. And honestly, with all my heart, do I say this next statement? With all the evil that we're seeing out in the world right now, and all the child trafficking and the child ritual abuse, and why would we want to participate in anything like that? Sincerely. it's isn't there enough evil? I mean, can't we find something happier to do or something more productive to do that would give glory to God instead? And so anyway, this leads us into the topic that we're going to be talking about as we move forward in our conversation today. But the Lord's saying, if you're sold out to your flesh in this hour, even if you don't know you are, then you're a prime candidate to be duped by the devil as this sifting is going on. If you're experiencing backaches, we're going to go into physical manifestations of witchcraft, by the way. If you're experiencing backaches, upper back pain, a lower back pain, what else are they hitting? Any type of physical ailment like heart issues, high blood pressure, things like that. It's indicative prophetically that the enemy is going after God's heart physically, trying to shut down your vessel, but he's trying to touch God's children. The back is indicative of the backbone of your strength and structure, or of the body's strength and structure. Remember, we're all members of the body of Christ. So the enemy's coming after your structure, your prophetic structure, and your strength. He's also throwing daggers in the middle of our backs to hinder our structure in the rebuilding process. So you need to be taking those things out with the hand of God spiritually. God says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He also says that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, concerning the works of my hands, command you me. Use his hand. Pull him out. So when we see the physical manifestations, we need to remember and read between the prophetic lines and see what the enemy is really going after spiritually. We're all members of the body of Christ, and each of our individual attacks are usually to hinder our gifts from operating and to stop us from plugging in to the remnant. But the Lord is saying, keep going. You keep going, because God's got a job for you to do and he needs us to complete it. But in this hour, we need to start tearing down. This is what I need all front runners and intercessors to really focus on. To start going after the enemy's infrastructure, going after their structures. You need to be collapsing their reversal spells. How do you do this? You do this in their times, dimension, realms, frequency, seasons, cycles of the spirit and their planes. Collapse them. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Matthew 7, 27. Collapse all their spells. All reversal spells, all protective spells over their infrastructure, collapse them. All backlash, retaliation, all demonic bonds, collapse them. Nullify them. 1 Corinthians 1, 19. And then dissolve all their infrastructure. James 4, 14. Burn it up. Psalms 104, for fire. Can't do it against God's people, though. Because if you fight against God's people through witchcraft prayers, you'll reap what you sow. Just want to throw that out there. Just saying. So do that on all seven mountains, by the way. If you're a front runner and intercessor, go after the enemy on the international, federal, state, city, county, and personal level on all seven mountains. Tear down all black hat infrastructure, black hat structures. Tear it down. Tear down all their power structures. Tear it down in the business mountain, education, arts, entertainment, media, family, church mountain. Tear it down. Tear down their religious structures. Tear it down. Help your brother and sister out. They need some help. If they're stuck in a spirit of religion. Which leads us to Jeremiah 48, 1 through 49, 22. It's talking about our good friend Jeremiah. We've been talking about Jeremiah the last couple of times. And boy, Jeremiah was a fire-breathing prophet, man. He was called to the nations, but he was a blunt prophet. He was also called to God's people. And the people, they hated him. They hated him because he was just so blunt. He was in your face. And he was also sent out to warn God's people. So I've got a tickle in my throat. But he was sent out to say, hey, judgment's here. So God began in his house first and then moved into the enemy's camp. So the Lord was basically, his strategy was moving from the inside out to bring order from the inside out. Because, right, God's got to start. He brings changes from the inside out, right? Whenever we ask him to change a thing in our life. So he was bringing, God was moving from the inside out. And God began using the enemy from the inside out. Now check this out. God first started using and allowing Satan's forces, i.e. the occult, to start pressuring God's people forward through witchcraft. Wouldn't that make you kind of get a move on if you kind of felt witchcraft was rising up around you and you're like, what is this? What is this? After everything had been going smooth for you And, you know, you're kind of thinking, well, this isn't so bad yet. But you're wondering to yourself, what is this? That would make me get a move on. I don't know about you. That would make me get a move on. And it would make me start taking inventory and seeking the Lord to find out, what is this? What is this coming at me? So that's what a lot of front runners and intercessors are really, really dealing with right now. We're trying to figure out what it is. Well, I'm telling you what it is. It is the occult coming at you through priest, high priest, and priestesses. It's gotten a little stronger now because their lower forces aren't working. So you're going to have to come up to overthrow the what is this. You're going to have to come up. You're going to have to mature, get free, and asking God to look at you from the inside out to help that process forward. And so then the Lord, while he's allowing the witchcraft to mature us, he's also moving it to the outside. He's going to allow it to hit the enemy so that nothing can stop God's movement from the top down. As God moves that own witchcraft against the enemy's forces, he's using the enemy's words, actions, and deeds to mature his people from the inside out, but to also thwart the enemy's people and to keep them moving backwards away while God's new move comes forward. Isn't that interesting? To me, it's kind of like a, I'm going to say a vacuum cleaner, maybe not, maybe, I don't know. But it's like an inversion thing. So anyway, so God is aligning his own tribes for those who will listen and obey. And he's also trying to teach his leaders, godly leaders, to learn how to battle at higher levels and then let that knowledge trickle down into the house of God from the head down, like the oil on the beard of Aaron. That's how we're going to learn how to war in this hour. It's not business as usual. It will not ever be business as usual again. If you choose to go back like a dog to your vomit, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited by saying that, you cannot allow yourself to get stuck underneath the apparatus of religion. You can't. How do you know the difference between the truth and a lie? God says, you'll know my true people by my love, by the warm, unconditional love of Jesus. And you'll feel that love as you interact with them. God says, this is the way. Walk in it. Go. Run after it. Run hard after the Lord, after the true, warm, unconditional love of Jesus. But if it's cold and sterile, if it's abusive, get away from it. Reject it. It's not of God. It doesn't have any power. It won't do anything for you in this hour. So you've got to come up. So going back to Jeremiah, this was a time where the Lord was using the enemy to push his people into position, into maturity, and into godly authority. Just like in America at the moment. Just like in America. So in Jeremiah's day, God was using the Babylonians, the Philistines, or the Philistines, the Ammonites, and the Egyptians, who were really pretty much in control. And they were used to destroy one faction of their army. They were all ganging up against the Moabites, and God was allowing it. God was allowing it. Kind of like what God is allowing right now, what I'm hearing in the spirit, because the Moabites were considered a very, very prideful group. They were very, very successful, but they had built their wealth by their own hands. And God was using the enemy to be like a sword in a rising river against that people group. That people group represents the flesh, believe it or not. People that are caught up in their own pride, and they're caught up in their own ways, and they're caught up in their own look at me, look what I've done attitude, look what I've built, look what I so much I that you want to barf. Just like, it's kind of like one of those things you feel like telling somebody like that. It's like, why don't you let someone else brag on you a while, because you're about to make us all vomit and regurgitate, because you're like a waterfall that won't shut up. I mean, have you ever met someone like that? They don't have any humility at all. And they just kind of, look at me. It's kind of like those people didn't get enough attention as a child. So they have to get it now. So anyway, it's immature. They're immature. But this faction also represents part of God's people who have chosen to serve themselves, their flesh, material wealth. They want to serve another God. And they thought they'd created all of their blessing instead of moving over with the Holy Spirit into the true blessings of God. Now, remember, I've told you in past revs, in 2015, God started moving me off the world system, off the enemy system, which is part of this title today, moving off the enemy system onto God's system and into the true power position, because the flesh has no power. Okay. And I'm sorry I'm drinking so much coffee. It's just going to something in my throat. Kara, can you pray for me, please? So anyway, he's moving us off the enemy system onto God's system. And we have to move out of the flesh if we want to ever experience God's power, right? You have to. God is all powerful. Love is the most powerful force on earth. So that's what Moab represented, because they were stuck worshiping themselves. They were stuck worshiping the I. And it caused them to stay stuck in the apparatus of religion. And the Lord's saying, don't get caught up in the same spirit that the world and the unholy vessels are now operating in. Move out of pride and humble yourself before holy God so we can clean you up and use your vessel with might and power. That's the only way you're going to get your life back, by the way. If you're looking to get your life back, that is the only way to get back. And you're not ever going to go back to the way things used to be, by the way. This is going to be a newer, more improved version of yourself. It's going to be a newer, more improved life. You know what? Hold on one second. I'm just going to shut that off. I don't have patience for that right now. Sorry. So the Lord's saying, but don't mistake what I'm trying to do and confuse what I'm saying about wealth either. Because there's nothing wrong with having wealth. He's the richest guy on earth. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. But there is a difference when you create your wealth from what is standing on the sand versus wealth created by God, which is built on the rock. There's a difference. Because when God blesses you with the power to get wealth, how do you think you got it? How do you think you got it? We're going to get into that in a second. But true wealth doesn't come from the flesh. It comes from God's power to obtain it and keep it, because God's not an Indian giver. And that wealth then, when you're plugged into the Spirit, comes from heaven. So when God gives us a gift of any kind, he's not an Indian giver. He's trying to prepare us to come up higher, to mature higher, to get more healing, deeper levels of inner deliverance, to step up into higher points of power, the power to get it, so that we can actually obtain it. He's trying to get something good to you. He's not trying to take anything away from you. And all the way there, that's why he's got us planting seeds in honor of that thing we're asking for. We're connecting to the anointing, connecting to the anointing, connecting to the anointing, while we're decreeing a thing. And we're stepping up higher, getting more deliverance, because we're connected to the anointing, which brings that deliverance and deep inner healing, which takes you higher and builds that fire power behind your prayers. Isn't God good? Woo, yeah. Okay, so it didn't come from your flesh. It comes from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through love. That's the most powerful force on earth. Because in this season, God is calling his people off the world system and onto his system, moving us out from relying upon self and the flesh and over into the things of the Spirit. So that we'll be well provided for and well protected, but also well operating in much provision. We're going to be the Josephs. You're going to be Josephs. Did you know that? Wow. When we choose, though, to stay in the flesh, we lose all power. And that's what grieves the Lord, because he's desperately trying to get something to us. And we lose the ability to protect ourselves, because there's no glory over your vessel that'll protect the Spirit, that'll protect you from digressing and things. So you also have to be, I think, wise in the respect of when God does pour out his Spirit and tabernacle over your vessel, when he starts doing that, because growing in the Lord, your walk with the Lord should always be always and ever growing. You should always be progressing. When you look at stagnant waters in churches, what do you think happens to stagnant waters? They become polluted. They become really rancid. They become disgusting. And that's what happens to the heart when it sits under stagnant teaching, the apparatus of religion, because there's nothing to cover and protect it, which is what the glory does. So by moving over into God's Spirit, do we attain the power to attain all things, to be all things in Christ, especially to attain more of God and more of love, which is what he wants for us. So this truth is also why the enemy has tried to ensnare 80% of the body of Christ to stay stuck in the flesh. He does not want you getting endued with power. That's what he's trying to hinder you hinder from happening. Because if you get endued with power, that means you're joining ranks with God's forces, and you're going to be operating at the right hand of the Father, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and you're going to be commanding things. You're going to be commanding angels. You're going to be decreeing a thing and releasing different weapons against the enemy, because God says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right? We're not stuck in the flesh, because being stuck would mean that Satan, if we stay stuck, do you realize? Let me rephrase this. If we move over to the Lord's forces, that means Satan has less firepower, and he knows that God's forces are igniting against him, which is actually what's happening with the few that are choosing in the remnant to come over into the power of love. Man, the devil's after my voice right now. I'll just keep drinking my coffee. That's good. Wetting my whistle. But the Lord is really, really tired. I believe that he's really, really tired of the enemy plundering his people. He's tired of seeing his people get beat up. He's tired of his people settling for it. He's like, why would you just take it when I'm telling you a way out? Why would you refuse the truth when I'm telling you how to get from point A to point Z with the least amount of effort, the least amount of money, the least amount of resistance? He's showing us the way to get and maneuver in and out of the enemy's camp to get there. But I think so many people have been taught, oh, no, you don't want to fight witchcraft. You don't want to do that. They're not more powerful than you. You're more powerful than them if you've got Jesus. So I'm like, what are you afraid of? This is ludicrous. It's like looking at a skunk afraid to get sprayed. Well, all you have to do is go wash it off. You know, takes a few days. But you know what I mean? It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. You have to be wise. But the only way to get there, actually, because a lot of people, you know, it's interesting to me how everybody wants the blessing. Everybody always wants the blessing. And they get so jealous. I see so much jealousy and so much coveting these days from people who are religious. And they're jealous of people who are willing to do the legwork. They're willing to do all the hard work. But they're not, these people aren't willing to do the work themselves to get free so they can come up. When God says, I'm no respecter of persons, what I do for one, I do for all. So it makes no sense to me. That mentality makes absolutely no sense, except that I would think the person was very selfish and lazy. Very selfish and lazy. That they just want everybody to do all the work for them. But hello, I can't walk my walk in yours too. Nobody else can walk other than the other person's walk for them. We're all accountable for what we choose to do or not do in the kingdom. And by the way, you will answer for it at the end of your life. So a lot of people in the church feel like it's just too much. Getting deliverance and inner healing, it's just too much. Why? Because it doesn't entertain you? Why? Because it scares you maybe, or makes you feel uncomfortable, like it's weird? But when you start getting the results that you're looking for, believe me, it gets addictive. It's like you can't get enough of it, because you're like, oh my God, I'm getting results. And the more you get of it, the more free you get. And the more free you get, the more power you get. And the more power you get, the more your stuff comes in. What's so bad about that? Yet they still wonder why God's blessings evade them. Because if you want to know the truth, deliverance and deep inner healing, if the body wants to step up into firepower, deliverance and inner healing are going to have to turn into a daily practice in the church. Even in your alone time, a daily practice. You're going to be willing to let God put his finger on whatever he chooses to put his finger on in that moment, if you ever want to see those blessings manifest. That's the truth. That's a hard, cold truth. And in this season, God is saying, don't you dare let me catch you murmuring and complaining if you're not willing to do your part in order to step into the new place. Because I've done my part, says the Lord. I did it all up on the cross, and the rest is up to you as my people. If you are indeed truly mine, if you're ever mine, says the Lord, to follow me as I reteach you. I found that very interesting. He said, as I reteach you my ways. Because this is how far the body has fallen away from God's ways and God's heart. Yet many would say, but Lord, I've been raised in church all my life. To which God would reply, that's all good and well, But some of you still act like you've never been saved behind closed doors. And yet there are others who act like hell outwardly, brazenly in front of others, or in their own private time. It's one thing not to know me, says the Lord, but an entirely different thing to claim relationship with me and then mock me. And when I know what you're doing, and you know what you're doing is wrong, says God. The world has an excuse, but if you sit in a pew, you don't. And it's time to get cleaned up if you want to be safe and provided for. Which brings us to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 22. And it's talking about Christ coming. And he's separating out the truth from a lie, the holy from the unholy. And in view of this, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to know your job responsibilities. And we're going to need to be doing them as Christ comes onto the scene through obedient vessels of power. The Lord says, yes, I am coming onto the scene. I'm coming in now. But I also want you to know that apostasy is also coming in now, where many profess to know the warm, unconditional love of Jesus, yet are only living a lie because they have no fear of the word of God, but prefer only messages that tickle their ears and that don't force them to look at themselves or their heart conditions. And by the way, if any of my messages offend you, good. I'm doing my job. Because Jesus said he wasn't coming to bring peace, but to divide the truth from a lie by dividing mothers from fathers, sisters from brothers, etc., etc., so that his people might come back to the truth of who God says love is, was, and is to come. He's trying to bring us back to the truth. And I'm not willing to step in and tickle people's ears. I'm not going to do that. That's my calling. That's why I get a lot of heat. I have to wear a black hat for that. But you know what? So be it. So be it. If people get free, if a few people get free, then I've done my job. I'm fulfilling my job description. Are you doing yours? So this means if your life is bitter or sterile through your religion or your self-pride or your religious pride, that doesn't mean you get to make up your own version of God or his ways of doing things, because his ways aren't our ways. And we don't get to make up the rules as we go along. Also, another truth to this is if you lack power in your prayers, or your prayers aren't getting answered, that means you lack love. Because no love, no faith. By the way, and this is, I'm gonna cite source Kenneth Copeland. He's the one who said this. Think of a curtain rod of love. And on the curtain rod are all these little rods that hold the curtain up. No love, no faith. No faith, and your prayers don't get answered, because love is the most powerful force on earth. It's truly that powerful. So if you've just accepted defeat over your dreams that God gave you, the truth is you quit maturing and allowing God to heal you and free you. Nobody can make you do it, but you have to choose to participate in the process. But when you chose to quit, you chose to get free or to get delivered, which would have allowed you to come higher. So the choice really, really is up to us individually. Nobody can do your legwork for you. Nobody can walk another person's walk. I've already said it prior. We have to choose to work with God. We have to choose to be willing to be willing to be humble before a holy God and to let him put his finger on different things within us if we want to keep growing in firepower. That's how you grow in firepower. That's going to be the key in this hour. To growing that power is stepping up into love. So Lord's saying, I'm not here to tickle your ears and to entertain you. I'm drawing near to those who want to mature as my bride. And the Lord says, quit getting so offended at the truth that your heart condition maybe isn't where it should be. Because true love is unoffendable. And if you're offended again, you need deliverance so that you can go and grow with Christ. Because the body of the world has now entered into a time where if they refuse to listen to the right teaching and they only choose to listen to yes men or yes women or those who don't challenge their unhealed areas, they're going to be stagnant. Their waters will get polluted, which means their walks are polluted, their hearts are polluted, which causes them to grow bitter. because of unanswered prayer. What do they call it? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That's what delays your prayers, is your lack of maturity. And if people only want to follow their own selfish flesh instead of maturing into true love, which takes hard work, by the way, then their focus is still wrong. The Lord says, quit looking for teachers that tell you only what you want to hear, and learn to sit down and listen to the hard things so that you can become a better version of you through Christ. And the Lord says, there's nothing wrong with telling the truth. That's what the society, have you noticed? That's what the enemy's trying to make society do. He's trying to make it acceptable not to tell the truth, not to live in truth, not to walk in truth. We see it through the news where they've been negating the truth. We see it through the government mountain. Well, obviously, they're not living in the truth. We see it through the education mountain now. We see it in churches now. Oh, you don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. I don't care if I offend you. I don't care if it helps you. It helps you get free. By God, yes. For some people, I can't believe that people haven't told you the truth long before now. And some of you people behave. Pardon me. But sincerely, when we're acting like hell like this, when we wonder why all of society is going to hell in a handbasket, I think it's time to start speaking up. Sincerely. But there's nothing wrong with telling the truth. And we're living in a day where people are departing from it. But what they fail to realize is that God didn't put us into the earth to serve ourselves. He placed us here to serve Him. And it seems that many have forgotten the mission. Which brings us to Psalms 95:1-96:13. When the Lord says it's time to praise our way up above the witchcraft, up above the warfare, which is what you're going to have to do if you want to come higher. Above this Halloween time, above any time, you're going to have to learn the methods of intercession and front running. You're going to have to learn the ways of God and some of His methods. I mean, I hear about praise and high praise. Well, if you think about this, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you go into a corporate anointing setting and you always have that one person who they come in and they just have this innate ability through the Lord on their lives to listen for the sound of God. And through their singing, whether it's harmony or just their voice, their heart condition connects with heaven while they're lifting up praise and high praise. And guess what? God's no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He does for all. And they burst the whole body through. That's why front runners are so lethal. The same law operates on our vessels because we've been given the gift of love. We have an ability to connect because we're in the earth realm. We have an ability through Christ in our life, through the gift of love, to connect heaven on earth as we hit each new dimension, as we move from glory to glory and faith to faith. And we're always, if you're a true front runner, you're always reaching out. You always have this insatiable need to be into the new and you don't know where it's at, but you're willing to trust God to get there. And that's what you're going to have to learn. This is part of the ways of God as we're coming up and relearning some of these techniques. So when witchcraft rises, the praise needs to go even higher. And these past couple of years have grieved the Lord as many are turning to their own devices to be considered adequate or to be considered acceptable to the Lord. What do they think makes them saved? When God specifically stated that your ways aren't my ways. And God says, I've watched all the witchcraft rise up in the church, and it's hardened a lot of the hearts of my people because they're falling so far away from love's ways. People are so desperate for power because of the warfare is getting higher, but they're getting panicked. And instead of running to God, they're running to the flesh and they're running to their own devices, thinking that that's what's going to save them. And God says, your ways aren't my ways. They won't ever be my ways. There's such a vast difference between the flesh and the spirit. Such a vast difference. That's why God says you need me to add my super to your natural so that you can come up higher in me. And the only way to do that is to learn my ways, to learn my way of doing things which bring you higher. So you need to praise your way up above the witchcraft. And God says that during times of high warfare, we really have to get our praise on in order to come up above it. And Halloween is actually one of those seasons. So when we try to join forces and combine the holy with the unholy, do we make ourselves adversaries by committing treason? We literally join ranks with Satan by participating in Satan's ways versus God's ways. And the Lord says, you can try to excuse your fleshly need for power away by excusing your witchcraft prayers or word cursings, or by using the word of God in an unholy fashion, or like a weapon against a brother and a sister, if you were ever related, says the Lord. But God says, I'm not dismissing it in this hour as the sifting from the unholy and the holy continues. Let me repeat that, because that stuck out in my spirit. The Lord says, you can continue on in your ways if you're flesh bound, but the sifting is still continuing between the holy and the unholy vessels. It's still going to happen. And you can try to convince yourself that what you're doing is okay. But the Lord says, in due season, you will reap a harvest. I tell my children this, says the Lord. He said, I always tell my children, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, you'll reap a harvest. If you don't faint, don't give up. But the Lord says, also know this, every season comes to pass because we live by a season of seed plus time equals harvest. That's Perkin of Copeland. And we're always moving. If you're moving forward, hopefully, as the front runners move forward, we're forcing seasons. We're forcing seasons to come into play. But eventually, every seed is going to mature, whether it's evil or whether it's good. You need to be making sure you're planting good seed so that you reap a good harvest. That's why you're called to bless your enemies and not curse them. That's why we're called to practice God's ways. Okay, that's good. That's mine. I have all my computer equipment hooked up here, and it's telling me that I've got different things disconnecting. So anyway, long story short, in this hour, God's looking for people who gladly submit to him so that we can enter into our promised land blessings. Because the Lord said a hard, bitter heart leads to a hard life. It leads to a hard life. Think about that. And when we choose to mature and follow God's ways, do we learn how to come up and over, triumphing over the enemy? Don't you want your life? Think about this. Don't you want your life to represent that of an overcomer? To prove to the world how real God is. I mean, doesn't it just rock your socks, man? And that's kind of even an understatement. It gives me so much joy to see things manifest that I've been praying for a long time. And as an intercessor, front runner, I've been learning to do this for the past 35 years. But every time it happens, I know that as we go higher, the warfare gets harder. I'm sorry, my voice is kind of weird. I always come after my voice when I'm on here. But as we go higher, the warfare gets harder. So which means you have to put the patience and the faith in practice, the power twins, faith and patience. And you have to learn to stand, and you have to keep decreeing a thing, and moving with the Lord every day and keeping your appointments with the Lord so that you know you can sense the movement forward. You can sense the next thing he wants you to do. And it keeps you right in alignment with him, right in alignment with the seasons, right in alignment with the move of where you should be. And you become in the know. You know at all times what's going on around you, what's going on around the body. I would rather be that person than someone sitting over here stagnant, going nowhere, getting angry at God, angry at the person that can help me. He's the only person that can help us. Because I know I can't do anything outside of him. It's his super, not mine, that's added to my natural. My flesh is just a tent that houses his spirit within me. So same with a lot of you. So when we choose to mature and follow God's ways, do we learn to come up and triumph of the enemy? Which leads us, Proverbs 26:9-12. Pardon me. And it says, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Meaning, it falls out of his mouth in a very usually foolish way. Makes him look stupid. And then we go on to read, like an archer who wounds at random is the one who hires a fool or any passerby. Meaning that they're not looking at who they're connecting with. It's all about in this hour who you're connected with, their roots and their fruits. Be careful who you're listening to. If you're looking for entertainment, you're in the wrong place. First of all, you have the wrong heart condition, because You should be drawn to leaders who have an anointing, the warm, unconditional love of Jesus operating on them, which is what leads you forward into the next move of God. And as the next scripture states, as a dog returns to its vomit, I didn't know that was in this, so fools repeat their folly. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? The I. There's more hope for a fool than for them. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. If you got that, actually. You don't want to go back in history. You don't want to digress. We always want to make sure we're going forward in with the move of God. We're moving forward in His Spirit. You don't want to go back to what's familiar, because there's nothing for you in the past. There's nothing for us there. Life will never be like it used to be. And if people don't want to join you in the present to move with you in your future, then they may not be on the same spiritual page as you are. And not everybody can go with you where God has taken you. You may need to inquire of the Lord and to ask Him to shake your tree a little bit. I have to do that from time to time. Shake my tree, God. I got some dead fruit on those low-lying branches. That means inside and outside. I need some help to make my load a little lighter. I know some of you don't have a choice because you're in families. But my thing is that God has put high callings on some of your vessels. And God wants you to continue moving on in the higher things of the Spirit. He's called you and lifted you up for such a time as this. Are you encouraged today? I hope you are. I actually, when I first started the word today, I was thinking, this makes no sense, God. And I had to call some. I called one of my friends. We prayed about it. We pray for every one of them actually every day, but specifically this one today, because I thought, I don't know where this is going. This is so strange. And then the Lord started showing me. He said, Missy, He goes, don't try to figure it out. He goes, just move with me. Let me unfold it. And I thought, ugh, yeah, of course. So anyway, I hope you're having a great Monday. If you're looking for a tribe, consider joining us at Ezekiel's Will. We are looking hopefully to help people and helping you to stay in the know about what's going on, front runners and intercessors, where you're at by the Spirit, trying to help you stay plugged in. If you're looking for a tribe, though, consider emailing me at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. We take you through intense deliverance all the time. You'll grow to love it. I'm not lying. It's addictive. You start getting freedom. Our people are getting their lives back. And it's just amazing how God turns a life around. It's fun to watch the miracles of God. So with that, I'll leave you with that until I see you again, hopefully on Friday. And if I don't see you again, then maybe I'll catch you next Monday. But I'm hoping you're having a great Monday today. And until I do see you, have a great day and stay blessed. Okay, guys, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.